Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Today is episode 411, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, May 29th, 2026. We have a really fascinating lineup today, Mike. It feels like there is a heavy thematic current running through the top posts. We are going to talk about the dead economy theory, a prominent open source developer retiring to live offline, the existential dread of using AI for creative tasks, the developers behind GTA 6 unionizing, and finally, a sobering look at just how much data your car is collecting about you.
Yeah, that first block of stories really captures the current mood on Hacker News. There is this deep industry-wide reflection happening right now about what all this artificial intelligence actually means for our careers, our economy, and our sense of purpose.
Exactly. So let us start right there with our top story, which got over 800 points. It is a blog post by Owen McGran called The Dead Economy Theory. Everyone knows the dead internet theory by now, the idea that the web is mostly bots talking to bots. Well, McGran takes it a step further. He argues that the AI industry has a numbers problem. With valuations in the trillions, the only addressable market large enough to justify that kind of investment is the global labor market itself.
Right. The pitch from these companies might use gentle words like co-pilot or assistant, but McGran argues the underlying financial model requires the elimination of human cost centers at a civilizational scale. And he maps out this three-turn cycle. First, a company replaces workers with AI, margins expand, and stock prices surge. Second, those replaced workers stop earning and stop spending. And third, the company realizes its customers were actually just other companies' workers, and consumer demand collapses.
It is a classic prisoner's dilemma. He cites a Wharton paper called the AI layoff trap. If you have 20 competitors and you automate, you capture all the cost savings, but only bear 1/20th of the demand destruction. So every firm rationally automates towards collective ruin.
The Hacker News comments on this were incredibly insightful, especially pushing back on the premise. A user named Rudis questioned if we were just massively oversupplied with talent to begin with. They mentioned talking to a Facebook recruiter years ago who bragged about having multiple floors of developers just working on Messenger.
Yes, and the replies to that comment were fascinating. Someone called it capital allocation theater. Basically, these massive tech companies are flooded with cash from the S&P 500. They cannot just give it all back as dividends because that admits they are done growing, so they have to spend it. They hire armies of developers just to project growth and potential.
One commenter pointed out that companies hire to invest in growth and they conduct layoffs when growth slows. The whole AI improved productivity narrative might just be convenient storytelling by executives. As one former OpenAI economist noted in the article, when CEOs say they are cutting jobs because of AI, other executives feel like they have to do it too. It is herd behavior dressed up as innovation.
Which perfectly segues into our second story. Chad Whitaker, a very well-known figure in the open source community who was working at Sentry, posted a short but heavy update titled, "I am retiring from tech to live offline." His "too long did not read" was simply, "AI took the last of the wind out of my open source sails."
That post hit a nerve, getting over 760 points. But what's interesting is that when you read the comments, a lot of people related to his burnout, but they did not necessarily blame AI. A user named Siren2026 said they have been at it for 20 years and feel their time is up too, but they blamed the politics, the constant performance reviews, the reorgs, and the top-down corporate nonsense.
Yeah, there was a really grounded debate in that thread about perspective. Someone pointed out that compared to hard manual labor, a tech job where you work from home on a computer is incredibly cushy. And it's true, but another user who had actually worked in food service, landscaping, and factories replied saying, "Yes, it's cushy, but after 25 years, the corporate bureaucracy still wears you down."
I loved the comment from a developer who said they are opting out of economic productivity to go buy a chicken farm. They said AI took the pleasure out of coding for them. They enjoyed the crafting of the code just as much as the result. And now that AI can just generate the result, the magic is gone.
That exact feeling is the focus of our third story, a piece called "Please Use AI." The author talks about designing shirts for a marathon group. Instead of brainstorming a funny slogan, they just prompted ChatGPT and picked one. and they immediately felt this profound emptiness. All the creativity, the humanity, the soul of the project was just gone in an instant.
The Hacker News thread on this one was deeply philosophical. A user named Ryan Drake said they totally lost the feeling of accomplishment with AI coding. When they type the code themselves, they feel responsible for bringing it into the world. When AI does it, they feel nothing. They said if someone issued a takedown notice on their AI-generated code, they would just delete the repository and never think about it again.
But then you have the other side of the spectrum. Another user replied saying they do not care about the syntax or whether a variable is on the stack or the heap. They care about the architecture, the intent, and the contracts. For them, AI is a tool that lets them focus on the macro design without getting bogged down in microscopic issues.
It really comes down to why you got into this field. Are you a big-picture systems thinker, or do you just really enjoy the puzzle of sorting colored blocks, as one commenter put it? Someone brought up a great analogy with photography. If a photo has strong composition and symbolism, does it matter that the photographer just pressed a button instead of painting it by hand?
That is a great point. The tools abstract away the manual labor, but the human intent is still what matters. Though, as another commenter warned, you have to be careful claiming you are a better architect with AI. Abstractions always leak, and if you do not understand the low-level code, you are going to hit a wall when it comes to performance and debugging.
Speaking of hitting a wall, let us pivot to our fourth story. The developers behind Grand Theft Auto 6 have formally announced a union. The Rockstar Game Workers Union is partnering with the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain. This comes after over 30 employees were fired last year for gross misconduct, which the union is calling a blatant act of union busting.
They are demanding pay transparency, flexible working, and an end to crunch culture. And Mike, the discussion on Hacker News about this was so illuminating, especially regarding the economics of the video game industry compared to big tech.
Right. The top comment asked a very simple question. Why does game developer pay lag so badly behind big tech pay when they're solving remarkably similar, if not harder, engineering problems?
And a game developer who is now a university professor answered it perfectly. First, they noted that game engineering is generally way more complex than standard big tech engineering, but it's a pure supply and demand issue. Every computer science student wants to work on video games, cybersecurity, or AI. Nobody grows up dreaming of writing enterprise accounting software.
Exactly. It's a passion-driven industry, just like Hollywood. You are trading a good salary and your work-life balance just to get your name in the credits of a game you love. The professor noted that gambling and slot machine development actually pays really well and has great work-life balance, but students refuse to do it. They only want to work on GTA or Fortnite.
Another former developer talked about the tyranny of the frame rate. They said everyone writes their first game engine and thinks it is easy, but as soon as you approach a highly detailed, photorealistic world, you hit a massive performance wall. The optimizations required are insanely complex. It is arguably some of the hardest software engineering on the planet, but because there is an endless line of starry-eyed graduates willing to accept minimum wage to do it, the salaries stay depressed.
It makes total sense why they are unionizing. When the supply of labor is that high, the only way to protect yourself from exploitation and crunch culture is collective bargaining. It will be really interesting to see how this legal battle between the union and Rockstar plays out, especially with GTA 6 being arguably the most anticipated entertainment product in history.
Absolutely. All right, let us move to our final story for today, and it is a bit of a privacy nightmare. An article from the BBC titled, "Cars Collect a Startling Amount of Data About You, and It Is Only Just the Beginning."
This one is rough. Modern cars are essentially just computers on wheels, and automakers are using them to harvest incredibly intimate details about our lives. We are talking precise location data, your weight, your facial expressions, and whether you brake too hard. Some cars even have interior cameras pointed right at you.
The Mozilla Foundation did an analysis of 25 car brands, and every single one failed their privacy and security standards. They called cars the worst product category they have ever reviewed. Kia's privacy policy even included language about collecting data on your sex life and genetic information, though they claim that is just standard legal boilerplate for California law.
The real issue is where this data goes. General Motors actually got in trouble recently for selling driver data to a broker called LexisNexis. There was a guy who found out LexisNexis had a 130-page file on him detailing every trip he took over 6 months.
His car insurance spiked 21% because of it.
And it's about to get worse. A new federal law in the U.S. will soon require automakers to install infrared cameras to scan your body language and eye movements to detect if you are drunk or drowsy. Obviously, preventing drunk driving is a good thing, but privacy experts are pointing out that there are zero provisions in the law restricting what the car companies can do with all that new biometric data.
The Hacker News comments on this were pretty bleak. One user pointed out that we are being squeezed from both sides. The computers inside the car are sharing sensor data, and the flock cameras outside on the roads are tracking our movements.
There was a really poignant comment from someone who said they got into software engineering because they loved solving problems. But now they feel like the skills they have are only utilized by people whose goals they abhor. They said, "I leaned my ladder against the wrong wall and started climbing, and it took a lifetime to realize it was the wrong wall."
That is a heavy thought, but it resonates with a lot of developers right now. You spend your life building this incredible technology, and then you watch it get used to build a surveillance state or to optimize insurance premiums at the expense of regular people. As another commenter noted, the people who do not understand the technology seem to be the happiest, while the engineers who built it are sitting around feeling like they accidentally created a dystopia.
It really ties the whole episode together, doesn't it? From the dead economy theory to the loss of joy in coding to the reality of modern surveillance. It is a very reflective moment for the tech industry. We have built these massive, world-changing systems, and now we are all kind of looking around asking, is this actually what we wanted to build?
Well said, Sarah. It is definitely a time for some industry-wide soul-searching.
And that is going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
Have a great day, everyone. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News.